for you. Good morning. Merry Christmas to everyone. I was Creesh and I were talking last night, and Creesh and I were both fact-checking this, but the truth is this, is that it will be 11 years from today before we gather again on Sunday morning to worship God for Christmas. And so I encourage you to appreciate this day. A lot's going to change in 11 years, but let me tell you one thing that won't change, and that's God. Right, so I'm very thankful to be here with each and every one of you this morning as not only my biological family, but my church family. It's just a wonderful time. I'm sure that your small group studies went well this morning, and hopefully you go home to worshiping with your family, to worshiping with your family here at church, to going home and sharing your Lord and Savior with the rest of your family as you open presents. A lot of you probably have already opened your presents this morning. No, some of you have, some of you haven't. Some of you are like, come on, let's wrap this up. We got presents at home to do this, right? But we're going to spend some time this morning worshiping God. If you have your bulletin, crack it open. Let's take a look. I'm just going to point out a couple things. You know, it's amazing how the season works. We go from there not being enough room on the bulletin, where Crystal has to use a smaller font every Sunday, to where a lot of things are already finished and wrapped up, and now the bulletin looks kind of empty. Don't worry, that'll change soon. Number one that I wanted to mention to you, and you'll see it in the offering plates this morning, and I pray that you've been giving this consideration and thinking about how the Lord would have you come alongside our missionaries, our international missionaries at the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. I'll share something with you. Is Monday I got a call from the Orkin man. He was like, hey, can you meet me on Monday? And I'm like, absolutely. So I came down here Monday, let him in, and he came downstairs, and I could see his can was shaking, like he was jittery. And I was like, man, how big was the mice that he saw? Like, what happened? He said, Lottie Moon about just gave me a heart attack upstairs. I was like, man, I wish I had a dollar for every person that Lottie Moon got. And he's like, that's the first time I've been scared by something like that. I mean, his can was shaking in his hand, and he wrote the thing out, he was shaking. I was like, hey, man, I should have gave you a heads up. I didn't mean to do that on purpose, but Lottie Moon almost sent someone home to be with the Lord. But I pray that you all are thinking, considering how you would help and come alongside our missionaries. They're dedicated. They're living in foreign lands to take the gospel to many people, and they need our support. And we do that through our prayers. We do that financially. It's very important. The opportunity is there, right? Also, you'll see there is the ARC needing clothing and Sunday school books. I've seen there's a donation tub out there. I see people putting stuff in it. Thank you all for doing that. Today is the last day. What'd you say, Liz? That's it. Well, last week was the last Sunday. And I think Lucy said a lot of people did that, but our directory, we're updating that for everyone. If you didn't get it on there, it's not coming back out, let me or Lucy know, but that opportunity has passed. We're going to make that available to everyone pretty soon. We'll get the information out. Hopefully everyone's going to be updated on that, right? Also, baskets are in need for our sunshine baskets. Those opportunities continue to exist. If you're looking to get rid of some baskets at your house, Lucy would be more than happy to take them off your hands, right? You can read everything else on there. Always lots of opportunities to serve at Dallasburg, and I pray that you're considering those, thinking about those, how you can serve the Lord and serve his people. But what we're going to do right now, we're going to lift up songs of praise to God, because as we talked about last week in corporate worship, God is the only thing worthy of worship in our lives, and we're going to do that now. I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll jump into that, all right? Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the time that you gave us this morning in our small group studies. Lord, I thank you for the reminder through Scripture of how we are to replace our fear and our anxiety with faith and trust in you. Lord, just what a great lesson that as we celebrate it today on this Christmas morn, that we understand that your sovereignty, what it means to us, how it gives us faith and it gives us the ability to go out into a world and instead of being full of fear, but to grow in our fearlessness, because we understand that as long as we are serving you, no one can be against us. And so, Lord, we thank you for that reminder this morning. We thank you for the opportunities you give us to share the gospel, to speak truth into people's lives. And, Lord, we thank you for all of those things that you give us. In Jesus' special name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let us stand this morning as we worship our Lord. And again, as Michael said, Merry Christmas. It's a wonderful time to be here this morning. And just a little disclaimer, with the weather going on, sometimes it's not good on the vocals. I ain't mine. So if at any point you hear me make a joyful noise, just keep singing. All right, I'll jump in eventually. All right, so let us sing this morning and let us sing, O Come, All You Faithful, and let us worship our Lord. Continue singing by singing the song that the angels sang at one point. So let us worship.
Angels, we
118:17-18. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. And we can continue singing this morning by singing, O come, Emmanuel, a plea that his people had, and he heard them, and he came to save us from our sins. Let us sing. Like this one, he came to this earth as a baby. So let us sing that this morning.
Away in a manger, no crib for us. sweet head. The stars in the sky are down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle all lowing, the baby awakes. But little Lord Jesus, no cry. Stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the near children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with thee there.
Amen. You may be seated.
Psalm 118, 19 through 20. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them, and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, the righteous shall enter through it.
Let us pray. Most gracious, loving God, we thank you for this great nation we live in and the freedom we have to gather here this morning, especially today that we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father. Ask you to be with Michael this morning. He brings us a message and might be something we can share with others and be the gospel people and honor and glory to your name that you'd have us to be. Thank you for this offering. Be used for your honor and your glory. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
All right. So, children, I've got a real treat for you today. You're staying with us today. So, I'm sure you guys are all super excited about that. Last night, we had our Christmas Eve service. It was a wonderful time. It's always one of my favorite services throughout the whole year. And started at 9, and someone asked me how long the message was going to be, and I told Grayson, I was like, just 3 hours till midnight. Grayson was like, are you serious? And I was like, no, Grayson, we're not going to be here till midnight. But kids, hopefully you'll enjoy this. We gather here this morning. It's a super special day. Every Sunday is a special day, right, as we gather with God's people to discuss the things of the Lord and what his word tells us. But today is a little bit more special as we also celebrate Christmas, the birth of our Savior, Lord, and Jesus Christ. One of the things that when I was getting ready for today, I was thinking about this, is that every so often in our nation, in the world, there's a rescue story that kind of captures the mind of the world. The first one that I was aware of, this happened in 1987, so I was 14 years old, so I was old enough to remember it and pay attention. But many of you remember the story of baby Jessica, right? She fell in the well for 2 days. It just gripped the whole nation. Everyone wanted to know what's going on with baby Jessica. And I don't want to spoil her. Spoilers here, but they got her out. You know, she lived. She did lose a toe, but she lived. She's alive today in Texas. She's a mother. And the rescue attempt was successful. One that was pretty recent in most of our memories, 2018, the Thailand, we had the soccer team and their coach decided to go into a cave. No one paid any attention to the fact that tides rise, and they got trapped inside the cave, and they had to have divers and all of this stuff. I did some research on it, and it looks like the total rescue effort was over 10,000 people were involved in the rescue effort, right? You had 100 divers, 900 police officers, 2,000 soldiers, 10 helicopters, 7 ambulances. Two Thai divers died in the rescue event, but they did finally get all 12 kids out and their coach rescued successfully. The one that I was always most interested in, and I remember being really interested in this, is it happened in Chile, right? It's when the 33 miners were stuck and the mines collapsed, and they were stuck under 770,000 tons of rock for 2 months. I can remember why I got interested in this, as I remember at the time I had read an article that they had called in a bunch of experts from NASA, right? Because NASA has the most experience of dealing with isolation when astronauts would go to the space station and live there for months. And so they call these experts in. They're like, what are we going to feed them? How are we going to take care of them? So they were there for 2 months. They rescue them. They all survive. Long story short is that, unfortunately, these 33 miners are still dealing with a lot of PTSD from all of the trauma and everything that happened there. But when we think about these rescue efforts, it's like, why do they captivate us? Why are they such a big deal? Well, I think everyone loves a feel-good story. Everyone at some point in their time has felt lost and needed to be rescued from something. What I want us to drill in on this morning and think a little bit more is the Christmas story is a story of a rescue effort, the greatest rescue effort that's ever existed in the history of man. And the rescue story of this is that God came to earth incarnate as Jesus to rescue us from our sin. And so if you've enjoyed reading and listening and hearing about rescue efforts, if you simply open your Bible and read the birth narrative of Christ, it's the greatest rescue story that's ever existed. I'm going to read for us this morning. I promised you all I would finally make it to Matthew, and I'm going to do it this morning. Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 22, God's word says this. Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Let's pray. Dear God, we're so thankful for this morning. Lord, we're thankful for our time that you gave us this morning in our small groups. Lord, we're thankful for the wonderful time of worship and praise that you gave us this morning for our music. We're so thankful for our musicians that lead us in that. And Lord, we're thankful for this time that you give us right now to open up your word, to have the Holy Spirit come alongside of us, to teach us, to reveal things through Scripture that were previously unknown to us, to mold us more into the image of your Son Christ so that we can go out into a very dark world and be your hands and feet as we share the gospel, as we share our love, as we share the truth of whom you are with the lost world, that they too can come into a fellowship with you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. What I want you to do there is, as we read the birth narrative that we find in Matthew, is I want you to drill in there on verse 21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And here's the rescue effort. For he will save his people from their sins. The truth is that, this is what we're thankful for. This is what we're holding on to. This is what should just fill you full of joy and excitement. So much more joy and excitement for the presents that you have opened or you plan to open today. Is this joy right here should fill you up daily, not just on the 25th of December, is that you understand this, is that for he will save his people from their sins. You know who his people are? That's you and that's me. And that's what we're to be thankful for today. I shared this stat last night at the Christmas Eve service. If you're with us, then you get to hear this twice. You'll remember it maybe. Is that a poll was taken and that 84% of Christians say that America and the world has forgotten the true meaning of Christmas. It's not what it's supposed to be. It's not what it has traditionally meant. It's not about what Christ came to earth to accomplish, right? It's about presents and it's about gift giving, and that's not what this is about. So what I want to do this morning, as we're here this morning celebrating Sunday with one another and celebrating Christmas, is I want us to grow in our understanding of who Jesus is and why it matters. Right? And so we've seen there really briefly there at the end of Matthew chapter 1, verse 22, and the answer is this, and then if you want to start drawing and drift off, you can. I would encourage you not to at this point, but it's this. Here's the answer. It's because for he will save his people from their sins. The truth is this. Without Christ, it's hopeless. Without Christ, you have no hope of righteousness. I don't know, I can't speak for you all and at your homes this morning and what it looked like, but I'm very confident many of you have already probably slipped up this morning with some sin. Maybe something didn't get wrapped, or maybe you lost something, or you know, maybe you stepped on a Lego that got dropped off the table. Something has happened in your home that you've already proven to yourself and to others you're in need of a Savior because you can't even make it through a couple hours on your own. The truth is, unfortunately, for most of us as human beings, is we take things for granted. We forget how important they are to us. And that's why this morning is very special to us, is it helps refocus us back on of why we're thankful for Christ. And what I would encourage you to do is I pray that throughout your year and through the years that God is going to give you coming, is that it's not just on Christmas that you get refocused on these things, but you're able to stay focused on what Christ has done for you, what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do for you every day. And that's what gives you hope. You know, one of the things that I would share with you all is that during the Christmas spirit, we talked about this last week, is that if you're only joyful in this period of the calendar, that's a problem. Because as Christians, we should be very joyful people, all because what we see there in verse 21, for he will save his people from sins, and that's us. And I pray that we're sitting here this morning, that everyone here this morning has that hope. If you don't have that hope, we'll have a time of invitation at the end where you and I can begin that conversation and we can start having that. But what I pray for most of you is that you're resting in that hope and you're holding dear to that. And it's important for us to understand who Christ is. It's one of the most important questions that's ever been asked. It's one of the most important questions you'll ever ask. Just, I'll point something out to you. Notice that if you watch TV, whatever media you consume, most people are 100% okay when someone gives thanks to God. You know, I give thanks to God for this whatever award, or for this touchdown, or for this, you know, championship that I won. But as soon as Jesus enters the conversation, it becomes controversial. Most people are totally okay with God, but they're not okay with Jesus. And what I want us to understand this morning, and it's, for most of you, it's going to be a reminder. For some of you, maybe it's new, is that they're one and the same. When you say God, you're saying Jesus, right? So what I want us to do, if you have your Bibles with you, Steve will do it for us on the screen, is I want to take a look at John, the Gospel of John, the Gospel according to John, the beloved disciple, as he begins his gospel, of course, writing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he begins laying a groundwork to explain who Jesus is. Now, one of the things that we need to understand, and I say this quite often, and I hope you are appreciative of it, is just how blessed you are to have the fullness of Scripture, right? Many of these things, these theological points have been worked out for us. There's so much material that you can consume to give you a greater understanding. But understand, when the Gospel of John was originally written, this all didn't exist. And so John is laying a lot of groundwork here for people reading his gospel, and he's also laying groundwork for us to grow in our understanding. So the first thing I want to point out to you is this, is that Christ is eternal. We see this in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And so you read that, and you think, you're like, well, man, that sounds a lot like some other parts of Scripture. And that's done on purpose. God, I believe God did that on purpose, is that it should be very reminiscent to you. Probably the second most easiest memorized scripture in the Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so John, again, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is making a very clear connection here with Genesis. Right? Echoing that what happened in the beginning is when Jesus was there and was present. It's very important for us to see that connection, right? To understand that Christ is eternal. Something here, and I don't want to chase this rabbit too far this morning, but I think it begs some of our precious time this morning, is when we start off there, in the beginning was the Word, right? And so I think a lot of people, And some of you may know this, but the Gospel of John is not considered one of the synoptic Gospels. It's very unique. It's different than the other three, right? And a lot of people claim that John is a little bit more academic than the other Gospels. And I'm afraid that a lot of people come to John 1 and they just breeze over it. They're like, whatever, man, I don't know what this is talking about, the Word here and the Word that and what's going on. So I want to give us a little information, a little deeper understanding of that. And so the Word, what does that mean? Well, the Jewish nation had a very clear understanding and a conception of what words meant. Now, this is why when you read Scripture, you read the Old Testament specifically, and you're like, well, this word means this, and this word means that. It's because words had value to the Jewish people. They knew that it was more than just a bunch of consonant and vowels smashed together to make a sound. Words did things, right? We see that, and they just have a vast history of understanding this. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Genesis chapter 1, verse 6, and God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it be separate, and let it separate the waters from the waters. Right? And then later on in Psalm verse 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. And so we see here is that the Jews had a very deep understanding of the power of the Word of God, and that words had value. So John here has a very tricky thing that he has to do. Is that he, again, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing a gospel that is both for Jew and Gentile. And those are very different groups of people. And how is he going to do this? And just in an amazing way, and of course you can just see it, is that, you know, the Holy Spirit inspiring John to write this, is he uses this concept of the word to do that, is because Gentiles, right, that's you and I, you know, in the New Testament, a lot of times it's talking about Greeks, it's talking about Romans. It basically means anyone who doesn't have a Jewish mother is a Gentile, right? But they also had a concept of the word, and they would use it. They would use the word to represent things. And the way they used the word, this being Gentiles, is that they saw there was an order to the universe. Even the stars moved according to a certain pattern. Animals, when bred together, produced animals that looked like their mothers and fathers. And they had an understanding of the order of the universe. Right, we see later when Paul writes and he tells us is that even those who haven't heard the gospel understand there is a God because of this order that's created. And so Gentiles have an understanding of that order. They also had an understanding, and even though they didn't assign the God of the Old Testament, Yahweh, to this word initially, but they understood that there was some force, this word, that put things together that created this order. So in a very rudimentary way, they understood that the God of the Old and New Testament was a God of order and put things into order. So what we see here is John, again, using this concept of the word that both Jews understood and that Gentiles understood to make a very clear point of whom God is and what God did. Right? And so he wants us to understand here in this first part of his gospel, he wants us to understand a very, very clear truth is that Christ has always existed. Christ was not made. He did not come into existence. He has always existed with God. He was there in the beginning, right? And so it's very important for us to understand this concept, because then it gives us a deeper understanding of how amazing what we celebrate today truly is. Is that the God of the universe put on flesh as the most finite, we read that poem last night, the most finite thing that exists as a baby. And he put on that flesh to not only come to model perfect behavior for us, which he did, but to also know that he one day would go to the cross on mine and your behalf. That's the God that we're talking about here. Let me give you some references here. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 23. Ages ago, I was set up at the first before the beginning of the earth. Right? And so the writer of Proverbs, again, extending this concept of that the Messiah has always existed. John 17, verse 5, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I think most of you probably are understanding now what I'm getting at, and you're like, Christmas morning is an interesting morning to discuss the doctrine of the Trinity, right? You're like, man, I was like, there's probably some other things we could talk about this morning. Obviously, you see we had the Lord's table set, so we're going to do the Lord's Supper, and you guys are like, man, we could be here for days discussing this, and we absolutely could. And I'm going to give you not a pass on this, but I'm just going to extend something to you to the truth. We can talk about the Trinity. I can give you verses about the Trinity, and I pray that you have a faith and a belief in the Trinity. But the truth is this, you will never fully grasp the Trinity. You will never fully be able to understand the depths and the intricacies of the Trinity. But it's important for us to understand what it is and what it means. And this morning, there's very three key things that we're going to talk about that it means to us. And the first is that God is eternal. The second one is that Christ is the creator, and the third is that Christ equals life, right? And so we understand that Christ is eternal, right? He is the distinct person of the Trinity. He is a unique individual person of the Trinity. And the fact is this, is that he willingly came to earth for us. So that he, as we see in John, and if you've spent much time in the Gospel of John, you've seen is that the concept of light is very important to not only John's gospel, but also his three epistles, right? He writes about it quite often. It's the reason, and again, this Advent, the candles that we light and what we have down here this morning, this isn't biblical. This is just a reminder. It's just a tradition that we do, and other churches do it as well. But when we lit the Christ candle, the big center candle last night, the emphasis was on how it brings light into the world, right? That comes from John's gospel and his epistles. Is that's what God, when God came to earth in the form of man as Jesus Christ, this is what he accomplished. It's very important for us to understand why the concept of the Trinity is important for us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. What is, again, remember, the main theme of what we're asking today is we're talking about a rescue effort. We're talking about who Jesus is, why Jesus matters. Well, here's a very big, important reason. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. So what we see modeled perfectly in Christ are the characteristics that we know of God, right? Of humility, of having a servant attitude, of being full of love, of being full of grace, of having all power in the universe to the point that Jesus did what? He overcame the grave. It's something amazing, right? Is that what Christ reveals to us is a perfect image of God. He is just like God, identical to God, right? So when you see and you read about God in Scripture, you are seeing and reading about the God of the Old and New Testament, and that's important for us to understand. It's a concept that's hard for us as human beings, is we like to see and we like to touch things and we like to have someone speak to us directly. And this concept of God that we see throughout the Old Testament, and we see prophets interacting with God, and we have theophanies where people see God in different things, which Moses is the main example of that. And then we also see examples in the Old Testament of Christophanies where people see Christ in the Old Testament. Again, confirming and reaffirming for us is that Christ has always existed. But what Christ models for us is God perfectly. It's very important for us to understand this morning how amazing and blessed we are of what God did when he came to earth as Christ. Later in John, we won't really get to it today, but in John chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus said to him, and he's talking to Philip, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" And you'll remember this story. This is when Philip is like, "Man, come on, show us something special." And Jesus is like, "Show you something special? All I've been showing you is something special. All I've been showing you is miracles. All I've been showing you is what God, how God handles things perfectly and how he gives me the ability to do these things." And then Philip's like, "Yeah, but that's not enough." Unfortunately, I think so many of us are like Philip. So many of us have this concept of, "What have you done for me today?" Right? We need to be, as Christians, we need to be constantly growing and understanding and being thankful for, like what I said, it's like what Christ has done, what Christ is doing, and what Christ will do for you. It's very important for us to understand this, right? And when we move on and we talk about, and we see this in John chapter 1, verse 3, as we're talking about, not only is Christ eternal, and he was there from the beginning, he is uncreated, just like God is uncreated, right? Is God, Christ is also the creator. John chapter 1, verse 3, "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And so we think about this. We think about, I've shared with you all, I've probably already said it this morning and I didn't even know I said it, but one of my new favorite ways of thinking of God is he is the uncreated creator. I just love that concept. I love the thinking of that. I love the discussion point was that the fact is this, is that the only entity that can speak something into creation is God. And it's not simple things that he speaks into creation. Like we've already read it from Genesis this morning, is that God spoke the heavens and the earth into creation. He spoke the earth into creation. He then set the earth up by simply speaking these things into creation. And guess who was there in the midst of all of that? Jesus. The same baby, there's the nativity scene. The same baby that's represented in these nativity scenes is also the creator, was there with the creator doing all of these things. And, you know, one of the things that I'm very appreciative of, and I pray that you're appreciative of this as well, is not only the fact that Christ came to earth, right? That's an amazing thing. And Christ willingly left his position of authority as he sits at the right hand of God right now. He's did that before, and he willingly left heaven to come and be amongst us. It drives home a very important point that I pray that we all grasp and understand. It's this, is that God does not exist distantly from us. He has a very intimate relationship with us. I'm not sure if I said this last week in corporate worship or Sunday school class. Sometimes they bleed together when I do them back to back so fast. But the reality is this, everything that you experience in the world, so did Christ, right? He experienced disappointment. He experienced people hating him. He experienced people not inviting him to things. He experienced people talking behind his back. He experienced people lying about him. All of these things that unfortunately you experience in your life as well as sinful people interact with sinful people and we live in a sinful world. All these hardships that you encounter, so did Christ. But the amazing thing is this, he handled them perfectly. He gave us the perfect example of how to handle these situations, right? It's amazing for us to understand, again, here we go, the uncreated creator of the universe wants a personal and intimate relationship with you. God did not simply wind the clock up and walk away and be like, well, what's going to happen is going to happen. No, God is involved every day in your life. He's involved in all of your decisions. He's involved. He wants to be involved in all of these areas of your life. And all you simply have to do is allow him to. Right? The truth is, he's going to do it anyway. But for you to live in submission and understand of what is how he wants to be involved in your life. God is not disinterested in you. This is one of the things, and I don't know if I wouldn't encourage you to do this. This is something that I've done previous, and I still find it a little bit interesting, is to study other religions and what they think about. I would encourage you to probably spend more time in Scripture, probably more beneficial to you. But one of the common things that you see when you study, you know, other religions is you see how distant their gods are. And by gods, I use lowercase g there, is that they exist in different areas. They don't care about their people. They don't care about the people who worship them. And they're just seen as very distant. This is one of the clear things that's very unique and distinct about Christianity is that how intimate and personal it is, right? And all you have to do is speak to God. And he hears you. And he cares about you. Very, very important for us to understand that, right? And we also need to understand, as the creator, I've heard people say this. I've heard these words come out of their mouth, and you're just like, ooh, man, that's an interesting one, is that people have a tendency, well, okay, if Christ was with God, and they're the creators, along with the Holy Spirit, then this must be their fault that this is so messed up. Incorrect. Incorrect. The reason everything is so messed up is because of what? It's because of our sin. There's a very clear reason that Christ, there's a lot of reasons for this, but one of the really important reasons for us to understand of why Christ, right, Jesus Christ, why his father was God and not Joseph, is that if he had been born from Joseph, he would be just like all of us, born underneath Adam's curse. and would have a sin nature. But the fact that God is his Father, Jesus does not have a sin nature. He does not live underneath the curse of Adam. And that is what enables Christ to spend his 33 to 36 years, depending on what you believe, was able to spend this time and to model perfect behavior for us and to do this perfectly. Right? And so the situations that happen in your life, the sin that you struggle with, the hardships you struggle with, do not blame those on God and Jesus. The vast majority of those are because of your poor decisions and your sin nature. Now, some of those are because you live in a sinful world and just bad things happen. That's the truth. But that is not, God did not make a mistake when he made creation, right? Sin entered the earth. That's a different theology discussion for a different day, right? And so the reality is this. The world does not need the technical skills of man. He does not need the miraculous advancements that we have, the technology that exists today, the technology that allows our services to be seen over the internet. That is not what the world needs. What the world needs is an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what the world needs. That is what fixes problems in men's and women's lives, is this intimate personal relationship with Christ, who was coexistent in the beginning. He always has been the creator of everything. And then the last point we want to talk about this morning, and this is what drives that point home, is that Christ is equal to life. John chapter 1, verses 4 through 5 says this: in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen, right? Just amen to that. I don't think anyone with us this morning or anyone at home needs me to remind them of the darkness that surrounds you. I understand many of you have professions that you have to encounter the darkness every day. You have to interact with people every day, and you're whether you like it or not, is that you don't get to express Christ the way you want to. And the truth is this: we have to hold to Christ in those situations, right? Christ is the source of this light in our life, right? John chapter 10, verse 10, talking about the sinfulness of the world. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, right? And so that has a deeper understanding than initially you have it there, is most of us just think of life as binary, right? It's either life or death. You got one or the other. There is some truth to that, right? One day you will stand in front of the 100% holy, the 100% righteous God, and you will stand in front of him one day and account for all of your sins. I can't speak for all of you, but I have a deep understanding that my parchment, it was going to be very long. That's going to take a long time to recount all those. It's going to take a long time for yours as well, right? It's because every sin has been recorded, right? And then you will stand as accused, and you will be stand as guilty, but you understand that the life that Christ came and provided because of your faith in him, right, guarantees you eternal salvation. And what that eternal salvation means is eternity in the presence of God. How long is eternity? It's eternity. It's a long time, right? But it also means this, is that Christ, when he gives us this life, when he gives us this light, as he is the light of this world, is he gives you, that comes along with a responsibility. I asked you this last week. I pray for some of you the number has changed. Is in the last week I asked you, when was the last time you shared the gospel? When was the last time you discussed with people about the light of the world? Right? I shared with you last week. And we could debate this. Resurrection Sunday, also known as Easter, would definitely be right in this conversation. Christmas, Resurrection Sunday, I'm not sure there's any time that's more prepared, that's better prepared for you to be able to share the gospel with people. My guess is all of us have that weird uncle in your family. Don't point at me, Emily. I know that's me. You have the strange uncle in your family, right, that is like, you know the person's crazy, right? You know he's lost. I'm not lost, Emily. You have this person is lost, and they need Christ. And when you gather for a family meal, it's the opportunity. It's the window. It's what we call it here at Dallasburg. It's the window of opportunity. God is giving you that. You want to share that light. You want to share that the fact that they can have eternal life with that person. You want to take those opportunities. So understand this. Are we massively benefactors for what Christ did? Absolutely. It just, you can't even put this on a scale to measure the how large of benefactors we are versus our responsibility. But the truth is this, we are called to share the gospel. We are called to take that light of Christ, the light that you have in you now, and shine that into a dark world. Church, let me tell you this. You're like, oh man, here we go again. This is a real Christmas morning thing to say. I'm going to tell you this. The only thing good in you is Jesus Christ. The light that you have inside of you, that's what's good. And you have a responsibility to do that. As Christ showed us the way that he intends for us to live, if he did it perfectly, right? As Christ shows us all these things, we are to share that with others. This is my personal opinion. I can be completely wrong about this. You can ask God about it when you get up there. One of the most controversial bits of scripture in the Bible, I think, is John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to them, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, a little side note on that is this is a very piece of hardcore scripture that makes Christianity exclusive, right? You can't just simply believe in God. You can't just simply say, well, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. I don't even know what that means, right? Thank you, Raphael, for laughing at that, right? You can't say that. John chapter 14, verse 6 makes this very clear. There is one gate, it's very narrow, and it's Jesus Christ. But what Christ did, when he says, I am the way, Christ, the little baby we celebrate, right, as he grows up into a man that's perfectly modeling Christ for us, is that he shows us the way that God intended for us to live. Then he shows us the truth of that life. And what is that truth? Truth is that eternal salvation rests in Christ and Christ alone. You know, one of the things, and I love to point this out to people, and sometimes you kind of see the light bulb moment go off for some of them, is that this, everyone is putting their faith in something. You have your faith in something. Every one of you are worshiping something. But what Christ taught us through his models, through his actions, through God's word, what he taught us is that there is only one truth of that life, and that truth is him. So we're going to worship something. We're going to have faith in something. You should have it in Christ, because everything else is going to result in voidness in your life. It is going to let you down. It is going to fail you. Even if it doesn't fail you on this side of glory, which it will, it's for sure going to fail you on the other side of glory when you stand in front of God. And you're going to say, well, man, I had faith in fill in the blank. And God's like, okay, well, that's great. But you didn't have faith in me. You didn't have faith in my son, Jesus Christ. It's going to not work out. And so the way, the truth, and the life, what is the life talking about? Is he's talking about how to save our lives, right? And so when we come here this morning and we discuss and we read scripture and we pray that the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us and reveals to us things in scripture we didn't previously know, is that we pray that for everyone, is that they can understand how to have eternal life. And that's through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So this little baby that we celebrate this morning, he grows up to be the perfect model of who God is. He models it perfectly for us. He teaches us these amazing truths. And the most important thing that Christ has ever done is he went to the cross on our behalf, was then buried in the grave, and then rose 3 days later, overcoming the grave, fulfilling prophecy, and now sitting at the right hand of God right now, waiting to pardon everyone who has a relationship and fellowship with him when we stand in front of God. I didn't do a good job of telling you what I was going to do. I just want to close this morning with this. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the amazing thing is this, is as John, again, writing on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as he uses this concept of the word to reach both Jew and Gentile, to reach us today, is that he is reminding us that the word is Christ and what Christ has accomplished for us. And so anytime we have a sermon or you have a Bible study, it's important to have an application. Well, what is the application of this? What is the application of Christmas morning? And it's this, and we see there at the very end of verse 14, full of grace and truth. So here's the application for us, church. This is something that we all need to grow in as well. We understand that Christ modeled grace and truth perfectly. Unfortunately, I think one of the biggest struggles for us in 2022 is we want one or the other. We either want to be focused on clarity or we want to be 100% focused on charity. Here's the hard truth. I shared this, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. The gospel is offensive. You are going to offend people with the gospel. Simply sharing John chapter 14, verse 6, by simply saying that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, by simply saying that, you are going to offend people, but you have to share the truth. Christ did that perfectly. But we also have to show charity. We have to show the grace that Christ modeled for us by loving people, by meeting people where they're at, by encouraging people to grow in Christ, by encouraging each and every one of you. Some of you have sat on these pews for X number of years, 30, 40 years. Are you growing in Christ? Are you growing in your grace? Are you growing in your understanding? As Christians, we all should be. We should be growing. That's called sanctification. We should be doing that. And so what we pray is that we, like Christ, are able to perfectly share the truth with people, but also be loving in that. And that's hard to do, right? But we see that Christ did it perfectly. We want to model this behavior. We want to be thankful for what Christ did. We want to understand that this concept is not something we just celebrate today on Christmas that happens to fall on Sunday. This is an attitude of truth and grace that we want to share 24/7, 365 throughout the year. We want to always be growing in that truth and sharing that love. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you, as difficult as it may be for our brains to grasp, we thank you for the doctrine of the Trinity. We thank you for the reminder through your word of whom you are, of the amazing fact that as the Creator, you then became finite to be born as a babe, to then live a perfect life amongst sinners, to model grace perfectly, to model servant attitude perfectly, to model humility, to model submission. Lord, I could just go on and on and on of all the characteristics that you modeled perfectly for us, to not only teach us about God, but to teach us of how we should interact with lost people. So, Lord, we thank you for that this morning. Lord, I pray this morning is that as we've had this discussion of whom you are, if anyone is with us this morning that has no concept of the peace and the love that comes with relationship with Christ, Lord, that we can begin that conversation this morning, that we can begin speaking of those truths. And Lord, we pray that if anyone is with us this morning, whether they be here in person or whether they be at home, that you begin that call upon their heart today. You begin to soften their heart. You begin to let your word fall upon them, that we then, as brothers and sisters in Christ, can help that person come into a relationship with you, Lord. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray for everyone with us this morning, that they continue to grow in their understanding and their appreciation for whom you are and what you've accomplished. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen.
Amen. Let us stand and let us respond in song.
Silent night, holy. silent night, holy night, darkness flies, all is light, shepherds hear the angels sing, Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face. Lord, at thy birth, silent night, holy night, wondrous starland, thy light with the angels led us sing. Christ the Savior is born.
All right, go ahead and be seated, please.